Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, May 17th, 2016 edition of the Sands and the Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Quick reminder from Rick via one of our readers that there is still the old-style ransomware going around that claims that someone has a contract to kill you and, well, ask you for money to buy them out. Nothing to be taken serious, of course. Best just left to your trash folder. But today we also had Apple's patch day. Now, Apple doesn't pre-announce them, but today Apple did release updates for pretty much its entire product range, starting with tvOS 9.2.1. This version does fix 32 vulnerabilities. Quite a number of these vulnerabilities do allow arbitrary code execution by displaying web content. Now, Apple TV does not come with the Safari browser, but applications and such can still use WebKit in order to render HTML content, and that is exactly how this vulnerability could be exploited. Aside from these, there are also a number of privilege escalation vulnerabilities that could be used by a malicious application to take over the system. As usual, there's a lot of overlap between the vulnerabilities being patched in these different products just based on the common code base. So in iOS, we have now iOS 9.3.2. Many of the same vulnerabilities were patched as in tvOS. But then again, with iOS and Safari, the attack surface is certainly more interesting here. Also, a bypass of the lock code via Siri was also patched. It would give the attacker some limited access to things like images. And I think this particular exploit has been demoed for a while now. But this isn't the first time that Siri was used to at least bypass the lock screen in a limited way, so not 100% sure if this particular vulnerability is new or something that has been known and demonstrated in the past. And watchOS patches 25 vulnerabilities. The WebKit vulnerabilities are missing here, but we still have the libxml2 vulnerabilities that could be exploited via malicious XML content that's being read by applications on the watch, and also some of the crypto vulnerabilities that are being addressed in iOS are also addressed here on watchOS. Now, the OS X update to 10.11.5, of course, has the most vulnerabilities that are being addressed, 68 at this time around. Among those, the ones that are noteworthy, a bunch of sort of AMD driver vulnerabilities are being addressed. Also, PHP vulnerabilities that have been known for a while now are being updated here. And interestingly, also a screen lock vulnerability is being patched that would allow, according to the advisory, a person with physical access to a computer to reset an expired password from the lock screen. So essentially, if you leave your computer unattended and someone gets a hold of the system, they may be able to reset an account of a stale user and then at least get access to the system as that user. Now, if you're not running the latest version of OS X, then you can still get an update for Safari. It fixes the WebKit vulnerabilities and also one specific Safari vulnerability. That also applies then to Mavericks and Yosemite, not just to the latest version, El Capitan, which is fixed in the OS X update. And for Windows users, we also got an update for iTunes version 12.4. It does fix one vulnerability, an untrusted DLL loading vulnerability. We have seen these patched in Windows itself also a couple of times already. But in order to exploit this vulnerability, the installer would have to run in an untrusted directory that then also contains the malicious library. Personally, I think the iTunes vulnerability isn't all that serious, in particular since it only affects you as part of the installer. So that's nothing you necessarily need to upgrade right now if you already have iTunes running on your Windows system. The OS X vulnerabilities are probably the easiest exploited ones. So start out with patching those, then move on to iOS and leave the watch and the TV up last. And FireEye released some more details about the Cerday attack that was launched against the recent Flash vulnerability that was patched last week. In this particular case, they state that EMET, the Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit, would have helped. And well, that's only available for Windows 10. So again, you know, if you really have to use Flash, then better upgrade to Windows 10 and apply EMET, because there are probably more vulnerabilities just like this one out there. In order to exploit the vulnerability, in this case, the Flash exploit was actually embedded in an Office document. So you had to have Office installed in order to get exploited, but overall the exploit would have worked by itself as well. And apparently Google is working on making it more difficult to use Flash with Google Chrome. Now, interestingly, as part of this effort, Flash will continue to be bundled with Chrome, but Chrome will not expose it to websites in the hope that HTML5 will be used instead, only if there is no HTML5 alternative being offered by the website, then the user will actually be prompted and asked to allow Flash for this particular site. So something that other browsers have started doing as well. The decision to allow or not to allow Flash will then be remembered for future visits to a particular site. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.